Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of the Tracksuit Rundown. Your boys here, Stevie Dukes, Alex Makatsaria, and the legend himself, Mr. Max Green, in the building. Guys, we haven't done one of these all together in a couple weeks.
It's been, yeah. I mean,
you guys try to exclude me there for a little bit.
I like doing an episode with Max because I just get, you know, it's nice. I just let him talk. Yeah. I just say, hey, Max, what do you think of this? What do you think of that? He gives us accurate answers instead of, you know, your... Yeah. But it's good to have you, Stevie.
Thank you. I'm very happy to be here. I just want to say, guys, if you haven't already hit that subscribe button, do us a favor, throw us a subscribe, okay? You can always change your mind. We show up here on a weekly basis. We put on these tracksuits. I'm pretty sure Alex never washes his. Like it smells from here. Like, just for the what we have to go through, me and Max, I think it's worth a subscribe.
I don't know if the viewers can tell, but these guys always make fun of me because as soon as this jacket comes on and we start recording, beads of sweat
just starts pouring down.
Start dropping down.
The further we go into the episode.
The conditions that we film in are just
so brutal. Yeah.
But can I just, I'm going to start with a little bit of a Miami Open. And I just want to say this because Grigor Dimitrov is back in the top 10. And he's a one-hander, and I'm partial to one-handers, and we haven't seen this in a long time. And he's, like, entering another peak in his career at this age. It's actually insane.
Yeah. No, definitely amazing. You are a big Dimitrov guy.
Huge.
Huge Dimitrov guy. I think what's nice is that he maintained the level that he had late 2023. Right? Because he picked it up, and then we were wondering, okay, is he going to continue into 2024 season? And lo and behold, he has. The fact that he's top 10 is pretty phenomenal. And I think a lot of people, that's kind of gone unnoticed. People haven't been talking about that.
He's just been tearing it up the past 6 months. I mean, the form he was in Miami, beating guys like Alcaraz, like ridiculously easy. Zverev. He's just competing with these young guys. It's incredible to see. And although, as you mentioned, he fell in the final to Sinner, you know, amazing tournament for the guy, gets himself back into the top 10 for the first time in a very long time.
And just so good looking. Like, it's actually absurd how good looking he is. He might actually be the best looking tennis player on the planet, male or female.
All right, let's get back to the tennis now.
I don't think... I'm just saying.
You have a point there.
Right?
I think a lot of people would agree with you. I want to give us a pat on the back, Max. A lot of the predictions that we made going into Miami were pretty accurate. We both said that Sinner was going to win the tournament. Sinner won the tournament. I'm not sure what you said, but I said that Zverev was going to get to the final. Granted, he lost to Dimitrov, but he got to the semis. He had a good tournament. I forget what other.
We had a bunch of upset picks. I mean, you said Jarry was going to get a big win over Ruud.
Yep.
I was saying Marozin in the round of 16 was going to back that up against whoever he played against. I can't remember now. Oh, Dimitar, right?
Yeah,
Dimitar. Yeah. We were spot on with our predictions. We were having a good week.
So that's a feel good moment for us. Doesn't always happen, but this one hit and all of them hit pretty much. So that was good.
I'm really proud. If you guess.
You know, I'm. Thank you. Yeah. Thank you. Before we move on from Miami, and this is kind of a good transition, but Danielle Collins said she's going to retire in 2024, which seems to still be the case. I haven't seen her say otherwise. Goes out, wins Miami, which I'm pretty sure she's from.
She's from that area, South Florida.
From that area, wins Miami, and now goes into... this week, and she played the final today, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah.
And won it
in Charleston.
So just absolute tear.
She dropped a set, by the way, she dropped a set in each of the tournaments, and the rest of the matches were like pretty easy.
Yeah. I mean, what do you guys think that is? Do you think that she just what has changed with Danielle Collins here?
I don't know. It's interesting to see. I mean, like, she was, you know, top 10 in the world, obviously, a few years back. And then she was injuries and lost her form for a little bit. And then these last two tournaments, she's just been on a rocket ship, just powering through players. I don't know. I mean, I think we mentioned this in the last one. You know, she could be, as you said, she's retiring at the end of this year. She put that out at the beginning of the year that this was going to be her last year. She might be playing with a little bit more freedom and looseness than she has in her entire career, in the sense that, like, there's nothing to lose at this point. Yeah. Just go out there and have fun and don't put any pressures on yourself.
Yeah.
And that's what she's doing. I think also, you know, we're at a stage in the women's game right now where, other than the top three we've talked about, or top four, let's say, the Iga, Rybakina, Sabalenka, and Coco, there's a lot of parity still in the women's sport. There's a lot of upsets that go on in that top 10, top 15, top 20 range, and she's kind of taking advantage of that by knocking off some of those players because she has the game to do it.
Yeah.
And she's, you know, if you ever watch a Danielle Collins match, the first thing you're going to notice is that she's a fighter on the court.
Oh, yeah.
She's really ultra competitive, never going to give up, and just fights for every point.
Well, a lot of people, I feel like, have given her slack for that. Like, she's always... At least in my eyes, she's always been portrayed as someone who has, like, an attitude and someone who's just not very pleasant on court. I think that's some of the best parts about her.
Yeah.
I'm sure she is pleasant in person. I'm just saying, like, the fact that she goes out there and competes and puts it all on the line and is someone who is, you know, more aggressive, I like that. As a spectator, I think that makes her more entertaining to watch. I the freedom to play, I agree. I think, you know, the fact that I'm curious about, actually, is if she goes out and has a killer 2024 mm-hmm. season, does she decide and reevaluate and go, you know what, actually, I'm going to go into 2025 and take it from there and see what's what?
I really hope she doesn't. I think I agree with you guys. I think, like, in your head saying, okay, like, this is my last season, I'm going to retire, and now just basically going out there and having fun and playing your game and trying to enjoy yourself out there is a huge advantage.
Yeah.
Because there's no pressure. You were top 10. You had the peak of your career. This is the tail end of your career. What's your pressure? And now, guess what? She's going out and beating the best women in the world.
Yeah.
And doing it on a consistent basis, week over week.
Well, it's also beating players like Rybakina, who, it's not just having a good week. It's like you said, beating the best women in the world. Jeez. And women who have been the best pretty consistently over the last couple of years. So it's that's a bigger sign than just a one-off or two-off tournaments, you know, 2 good weeks. That two good weeks could happen to anybody.
Sure.
Not anybody, but 2 good weeks can happen.
Sure.
But beating
the best in the world. The best,
and I,
that's big deal.
Got to say, not only is she being the best of best, but, like, the way she's beating people right now. Like, let me just give you a glimpse into her Miami run. After the first round where she went 3 sets, her match scores were 2-2, 1-2, 3-2, 3-2, 3-2, and then 5-3. And then this week, we mentioned in Charleston, her matches were 1-4. Then she went 3 sets with Jabeur, which was her only 3-set match. Then it was 2-2, 3-4, 3-3, and then 2-1 in the finals.
That's crazy.
I mean, she's not dropping a lot of games.
Yeah.
This is really
dominating.
Something that we haven't seen. I mean, this is the stuff that Iga does.
Yeah. No, for sure. And do we have an idea of what she's playing next?
I would assume she's going now to clay court season, and I would think Madrid is probably her next tournament.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how she transitions onto. Yeah,
if she can carry it over.
Well, Charleston was.
Charleston was on clay. I mean, green clay.
Green
granted,
clay is a little bit different, but it's still a nice transition. I mean, it's not going from hard to clay. The fact that she won Charleston on green clay kind of might be a telltale sign that she's going to have a killer clay court.
Imagine she wins the French.
Oh, my God.
Imagine she just goes on the biggest win streak of...
She can't retire.
And then retires.
Yeah. I mean, what a way to go out.
Yeah. Speaking of clay, this is... We love a little bit of drama at Just Slap Tennis here.
Oh, yeah.
Estoril, we had a very odd moment. And this happened when? This happened today?
No, this yesterday? Was a few days ago.
Oh, right, because what am I talking about today? I saw it for the first time today. It happened
This was in the quarterfinals of Estoril.
So
I can talk about it. This was a quarterfinal match between Nuno Borges, Portuguese tournament, as you mentioned, was in Portugal, against Christian Garin, who's from Chile. Basically, what happens is Garin has already won the first set. Garin, they're like 2-2 in the second set. And Garin, they're in the middle of a rally. Garin hits a forehand.
He has break point, by the way.
Yes. I'm sorry. That's a great thing to mention. Nuno Borges is up break point on Garin's serve. They're in the middle of a point. Garin hits a forehand that looks like it's sailing long, but no official call was made, although you can hear from the crowd, somebody said, you know, and crowd, they're always talking and stuff. People are yelling out in the crowd. You can hear an out call in the crowd. And because of this, I mean, we watched the tape back many, many times. Borges sort of reacts a little to the call, but is still in the point. And gets the ball back. And then the very next shot, Garin misses another forehand well wide, and that ball is called out. But because of this, there was a lot of confusion because the umpire thought that Nuno had stopped the point on the first out call that was actually by one of the fans.
Which he, again, very obviously didn't.
He did.
I think he fixed his shirt, or there was some act, there was, he did something, but it wasn't like he didn't go like this or do anything significant that would indicate that he wanted the point to stop.
Correct. So, I mean, the umpire kind of brings the two guys together for a little bit, talks to Garin. And, you know, as a viewer, I would think, okay, maybe let's, you know, it could be Nuno's point just because Garin ended up missing the next shot. I also think, you know, maybe a replay is in order because there was, you know, a crowd. Crowd interacted when they weren't supposed to in the point, so I would have been okay with a redo. But instead, the umpire goes the complete opposite way and rewards this point for Garin because Nuno somehow stopped the point and distracted Garin, which is totally ridiculous. I don't even understand. I think the three of us sitting here don't even understand what the ref was doing in that moment.
There was just no, I don't know what the umpire saw, but the point also clearly stopped after Garin missed the second shot. So he missed two balls.
So literally Garin missed two balls in one point.
Complained.
And then won that, and then still won the point.
Yeah.
I mean, have we ever seen anything like this, Stevie?
I think it's the worst umpire call in history in the sport.
Like,
I think
it's got to be up there.
It's up there. If you watch it back, like you mentioned, he just fixes his shirt in the middle of the point. At best, when you have the missed forehand in the alley, at best, maybe there wasn't a split step. But like, you know, sometimes you see a ball and you're like, oh, this is definitely going out.
Yeah.
So like to say that he stopped the point, I think is crazy. To then award the point against him, I think is bananas.
Yeah.
Like it's, I think that umpire, there should be something.
There needs to be a suspension.
There needs to be, that guy's like a, you know what that guy's like? That guy's like if I went to one of Max's pickleball tournaments and I had like a little clipboard and they're like, get in there, go umpire. Like average.
Just the amateur show.
Amateur hour.
Yeah.
It's amateur hour.
Well, what's frustrating as well is the supervisor came out because Borges obviously called for the supervisor, and it seemed like the supervisor didn't do anything at all.
They never do.
What are you doing there?
Yeah.
Why are you there?
This is another
reason. Your job is to you know, fix situations like these and make the right call when there's a mistake, and the supervisor just didn't do that.
This is another reason why I think we need replays. Like, we need replays.
VAR.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, because, like, that should never happen.
Yeah.
What do you guys think about... No, we spoke about this a little bit, but what do you guys think about Garin not kind of being a good sportsman and going up and saying, hey, okay, let's redo the point. There was a bit of a confusion. Instead, he just takes the point that he lost twice in a row.
Yeah.
I mean, are you in Garin's mindset? It's like, well, the umpire told me I won the point, so I'm going to take the point. Or is it his job to step in there and say, hey, let's redo it. I know I missed it.
I think you should. I mean, you want to be a class act. You go in, they say, okay, let's replay the point.
But you can't blame him also.
But you can't blame him because he's like in the heat of battle. Like, he was down break point. Like, whatever.
What my favorite part is the commentators were like, that is the most disturbing call.
Yeah.
They were like, this umpire, that is just a
highly disturbing.
Highly disturbing mistake. Like, they called it for what it was, which I loved, because usually you get very unemotional, unbiased opinions from commentators. The commentators called him out for it.
And I'm good for them.
I'm curious to see what happens with this umpire, just because that is such a bad... That is like... That's not just, oh, the ball was in and I called it out. That's like, you are not paying attention to the match. Like, you are not... engaged, because that's the only explanation for something like that to happen.
This is my one thing about umpires, is like, everybody makes mistakes, okay? Like, people make mistakes. It's normal. The problem is like, when you recognize you made a mistake, sometimes you have to be like, you know what? I shouldn't have given that point away. I'm changing my mind. We got to replay the point. Like, you should be able to correct yourself.
But what, when? Like, later down in the match?
No, not later down the match. Like, after the supervisor comes, after he complains, he gives his argument. You got to be like, okay, like...
Maybe. Anyway,
I mean, just one last thing. I think it's ridiculous that the supervisor can't be in the back room watching a replay of the point.
Yeah.
And then seeing it and coming out on the court and be like, hey, this is what actually happened.
So we'll see. I wonder if this is enough to kind of push some sort of change forward. It's not big enough of a tournament for that to happen. I mean, imagine this was semifinal Novak Djokovic versus Alcaraz.
Yeah.
You know, you have, it's a huge moment. Do you want me to close that shade?
I was going to say. We're both getting hit by it.
Can we keep this in the episode, please?
We're both getting hit
please,
by
we
it.
Should so keep that in the episode.
I don't know if it's going to change it, though. See, it's this part. It's this. That's why I saw
it might be better. Let's see. Oh, it's still on your face. All right.
But like we mentioned before, we're moving into Monte Carlo now. We're moving into the clay court season. Monte Carlo has officially started. We had some interesting results on day one. Musetti beating Taylor Fritz. I'm not sure if we had any other major upsets that are worth noting. But I'm excited. Where clay court season is finally underway. And Monte Carlo, I mean, gorgeous tournament. Great to watch. So let's get into it, preview it, give our predictions, give our thoughts.
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting first day, as you mentioned. We started getting a nice win. We saw a ball kid play a professional match against Borna Choric.
Yeah, that was a wild thing.
If you didn't see it, Bublik is in full force already. Day one, losing 6-1, 6-1. Didn't give one about this match. Actually, didn't care about the match so much that he gave his racket to the ball kid at one point and just said, go play.
Just please.
And the ball kid, my favorite part was like, instead of the ball kid just being kind of embarrassed and be like, oh, no. Ball kid actually took the racket and served twice to Borna.
She was so confused, though. She was like, she took it and she was like, no, I don't want it. And then he was like, no, please, just take
just
it.
Just take it.
She's like, please, just go.
Just put me out of my misery.
Like, all right. So she goes, serves once, serves twice. Obviously gives it back then. I wonder, like, obviously people were laughing and the crowd was cheering and the umpire was smiling, but if you're born, I mean, he was crushing him 6-1, 1-0, but kind of a funny thing to do because you just don't see that often. You see in exhibition matches, but not in a Masters 1000 tournament.
Yeah.
Such a Bublik move, though.
It is a Bublik
move. It's a classic Bublik
move. I kind of love it.
Yeah. To talk about the draw a little, so, you know, Monte Carlo, smaller draw than what we've seen recently in Indian Wells and... Miami. But we have Novak coming in at the one seed. Interesting, now we have Sinner taking that number two ranking in the world. He's at the bottom of the draw, and then we have Alcaraz in Novak's half.
Yep.
And then Zverev down in Sinner's half. It's going to be a fun tournament. Should we get into who we think?
Yeah.
Get into our predictions.
Alcaraz is on which side? He's on Novak's side or Sinner's side?
Alcaraz is on Novak's side.
Okay. So Novak and Alcaraz will play in the semis if they both get there. So
big match. By the way, Alcaraz had his arm like
wrapped. I saw that.
So I don't know what's going on over there.
Okay, I'm going to start us off here. Alcaraz, you can't ever count. First of all, you can't count out Djokovic. You can't count out Alcaraz. You can't count out Sinner. I think those are the three guys that you can't count out in this tournament.
And Dimitrov.
That being said, Alcaraz historically has not performed well at this tournament. He didn't play last year, and I think he lost in the first round the year before. Now we're saying he's injured, potentially, or he has his arm wrapped up. So I don't know what's going on there. Alcaraz, I don't think, is going to win this tournament. The two people that I'm looking out for are Zverev and Sinner. Mm-hmm. I think Sinner's on a tear.
Yep.
Sinner, I'm always, you know, I said he's going to be number one in the world this year.
You did.
Or finish as year-end number one. So I got to stick to my previous calls. I'm going with Sinner. He also didn't fail me at the Miami Open. So, you know, he's my boy now.
He's coming through for you.
Sinner, I'm going Sinner as pick number one. I think Zverev is a good pick number two. You know, Monte Carlo is also a tournament where you have these like weird, like not, you have kind of weird results sometimes. I mean, last year it was Rune and Rublev in the finals. So you could see a top player, but maybe someone who's outside of Djokovic, Alcaraz, Sinner, and Medvedev.
Yeah.
So I'm going with Sinner as number one, and then Zverev as number two. What do you guys got?
Well, you giving a dark horse, though?
We can do dark horse. You want me to do dark horse now? Dark horse, I'm going Arnaldi. Arnaldi is playing. Who's he playing first round? Nadal? Let's see. Who's he playing first round?
Arnaldi is playing, yeah, Nadal.
Nadal. So he's playing Nadal first round, which is a winnable match. I think he's going to take that. And then his second round is Medvedev. But Medvedev isn't very good on clay. Historically, I mean, it's his least favorite surface, at least it seems like it is based on his complaints.
Are you calling for an Arnaldi upset on Medvedev?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm calling for Arnaldi upset on Medvedev.
That's a bold claim.
Yeah, I think we could see the Italian go far in this tournament. That's my dark horse.
I like it.
What do you guys got, Steven?
I like it. Well, speaking of Italians, I'm very big on Italians this tournament. I think Italians overall are going to have a good showing. I'm in your camp with Sinner. I think Sinner has maybe gotten like a little, he's made Novak a little nervous, okay? He's made Novak a little nervous winning the last few matches against him. Australian Open was big for him. I think Sinner is going to take it. I think Sinner gets Novak in the final. Dark horse, I'm going with age. I'm going with wisdom. I'm going with brains. And a player who I genuinely really enjoy watching his matches. Mr. Batista Agut.
Nice pick.
I'm not sure what his recent results have been, but it's not bad.
He's had a couple of good wins in qualies.
He beat Team in qualies. Not saying much these days, but.
Yeah. He beat another Italian. I forgot who he beat as well. I feel like he's going to have a good tournament. I just feel it, you know?
Yeah.
And that's how I make my picks. Okay.
He beat Sonego.
Gut shot.
Yeah, that's who he beat. He beat Sonego.
Steven is from the hip.
It's from the hip. It's gut. I don't crunch the numbers like these guys. But I'm excited to hear our main number cruncher over here, Max. What do you think?
Yeah, so for my winner pick, as you know, usually when I give my winner pick, the sirens are just blaring in the background too.
Okay, let's
like you chose. The
sirens are playing. I got sun right in my left eye.
So we just made a cut there because there were sirens in the background. Also, apologies for the sun. That's just you know, the sun chooses to hit our faces specifically. Yeah. Max is just getting
the half an hour window where it's actually coming in.
Exactly.
Okay, so Monte Carlo winner pick. Thank you guys for giving your opinions. For me, I'm going with a guy that hasn't performed very well.
Did you see my face? If dude, you gotta use a lot of these cuts. My face when he's like, "Thank you guys for giving your opinions." I'm like,
"Huh?" Here's the real pro analysis.
Okay,
now.
Sorry.
No, so I'm going with the guy that hasn't done well in Monte Carlo for a long time. Historically, has never done too well here. Has won two titles, but last one was in 2015. He is still the number one player in the world, and he is going to show these young guys who is still the best player in the world. And that's why I'm going with Novak Djokovic. Mm-hmm. I think he's well rested. He didn't play Miami. He's coming up against guys like Sinner and Medvedev that historically aren't as good on clay as they are on hard courts. My number two would be Alcaraz. I think he still has a very good chance. I'm a little worried about the arm being wrapped up. But I just think Novak is going to come into this tournament angry, looking for revenge. I just don't see him struggling. I haven't seen it across his career. I just don't see him struggling in back-to-back Masters. I've been following him on Instagram. He got to Monte Carlo early. He's been training. Yeah, he's put in a good camp. I think he's going to show the world who's still on top. That's why I'm going for him. Dark horse pick. I am going for my boy, Hubie Hurkacz. He just won this week in Estoril, in Portugal. Historically, is not the best clay court player, but he looked really good this week. I think he has some confidence going for him now. I like his draw, too. I think there's some winnable matches there. And he's always going to be a guy that shows up and gives his best effort. I never have to be worried about Hurkacz going in there and not giving 100%. He's going to be, his serve is going to keep him in it. I think he could maybe make a run to the semifinals if he's playing good tennis.
Side note, no Nadal.
Yeah, no Nadal. Nadal pulled out.
But we do have Nagal.
We have Nagal, but no Nadal. What's weird to me is like I'll see like stories that Rafa puts up, and he's like he's always training.
I think he's just trying to like preserve his. I think he's trying to get to the French. He's trying to get to the French.
Yeah,
and where he's gonna, I think he's gonna retire. I don't know. It doesn't. Why risk getting injured in Monte Carlo?
Right.
With a serious injury when he's just... I kind of get it, if that's what he's trying to do. Can I also just say, I like the Novak Djokovic pick. I don't know if... I think Novak's going to do better at, like, Madrid, Rome, if he plays it, or the French. I don't see him doing super well in the first clay court back.
But first clay court, I agree with Max. I think first clay court tournament actually benefits Novak.
I agree, because these guys... I think once you give Sinner a bunch of matches on clay and he's a couple tournaments down the road, he's going to start to get used to it, start to get used to the conditions. I think
that's true.
I think this is actually the most susceptible tournament for an early loss for Jannik Sinner up to this point in the year so far.
Yeah. And also the thing that worries me about Sinner, which maybe I said Sinner already as number one, but this is my biggest concern with Sinner. Sinner's game is really flat, one. And two, it depends a lot on his shot pace.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And what are the two things that you that are affected? One, flat players typically don't do well on clay.
Sure.
And two, the ball speed is reduced.
Yeah.
So his ball speed isn't as effective. So I don't know. He's still, I think, going to crush it. I'm still sticking with Sinner, but that makes me a little nervous.
Yeah. Also, very tricky first round match against potentially Davidovich Fokina, who's a very, very good clay court player.
Who's good. Yeah. But if he can get past Davidovich Fokina, then then I'm saying...
It's looking good.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the point of the week. What do we choose?
I mean, maybe this is a cop-out answer, but I mean, considering it was, in my opinion, the worst call in history, I think we got to give it to...
Gotta give it to that that call, but it wasn't really. I guess it's the most talked about point of the week. Yeah, let's go with that one. I mean, is that
we have back to back points of the week? Didn't we do like Rude missing an overhead into the net?
Rude missing an overhead.
A lot of shitty points of the week.
All right, so this point of the week, we're it is the most talked about point of the week. So we do have to, you know, it's not again, it's not positive or negative. It's not a good point or a bad point. It's whatever.
It is what it is.
It's whatever is the biggest point. So the biggest point, Estoril, we're going with that call, that horrendous call.
Yeah.
Guys, thank you very much.
Tell them to subscribe and like the video and comment.
Join the family. Join the family. That's your job. You are the guy.
Yeah, but I'm tired because I'm the salesy guy here. Nobody's selling them to the Just Slap family. It's always me. It always falls on my shoulders.
Although every time.
And also, by the way, like Max, they love Max. We got to get Max. Max, you got to tell them.
Yeah, guys, like, subscribe.
Subscribe comment, if you love Max.
Comment. We love reading your comments, good or bad. You know, I know, you put a lot of hate on Alex and I sometimes.
Can I just say my favorite comment of all time is it wasn't a tracksuit rundown. It was a Reacts video with David. And a guy, I don't know who you are, but thank you so much. You wrote, I quickly grew tired of the loud mouth in the middle. Which was you, Steven. You gotta love it.
Honestly, I liked the comment.
Yeah.
I don't know if I commented back.
You said thank you.
But I said thank you and I hearted the comment. I thought it was a great comment.
Yeah. No, thank you guys for watching. If you haven't already, subscribe, like, comment. We like hearing your thoughts. Give your predictions on Monte Carlo as well.
Yeah, tell us who's wrong, who's right.
Yeah, exactly. And until next time, peace.